This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Morning, Tone.
Yeah, I heard that. Obviously, I listened to it live yesterday. You're very passionate.
That was 2 days ago.
Eloquent breakdown. That was 2 days ago. Yeah. And I heard that as well. I've heard every day that you've talked about the Cavs.
Thank you.
The national media are saying something completely different.
What are they saying?
Than what our callers are saying.
Oh, I thought you were saying than what I said.
No, and I'm wondering if we're in a bubble. Because sometimes that happens. Like the media, national media, they're in their own bubble of narratives. And is the superstar doing enough? Is this team going to break through? Is this a total letdown like on certain teams on any given day? Because we have to have huge takeaways after every playoff game, right?
Yeah.
And the national media, they're literally just saying the Cavs are injured. But what you just said is regular season means nothing. And will the fans ever care again? And about these things, is it going to be breaking up the what people are saying, the sore four? And I'm not hearing any of that. Nationally, they're just like, what a shame. What a bummer it is that the Cavs are injured. And they're not talking about the toughness of Darius.
We didn't play Stephen A. Smith yelling about Darius Garland yesterday?
Yeah, we did. We played that. I'm talking about the guys that I listen to that break down. But like Stephen A. just kind of parachutes into all these stories, right? He's the national media narrative guy.
Well, you just
that
said
comes
what,
in.
You just said the national media.
Yeah, the guys that actually like cover basketball for a full-time for a living, that break down the sport, they're all saying the same thing. Like it's just a damn shame that the Cavs are injured.
Okay.
Here locally, I mean, every call we got yesterday was, well, not everyone, but we had a ton that were just like, tough it out, get in the game. And then, you know, again, I heard Fedor yesterday in afternoon drive. And I've talked to others, you know, at the arena. They're like, what do you want him to do? He's injured. He re-aggravated the injury in the Miami series. It's worse. Or it was worse. The only thing that's going to make it better is rest. But now you need him to play.
It's been a weird. It's been a weird week in every sense about this, because I've been pretty defensive of Darius, have I not?
We both have.
You're on the Reddit. I'm not. Have people said that I've been critical of Darius for sitting out?
No.
Because every day I get
you
on,
haven't been.
Every day I get on social media and I'm going, is there another fat blonde radio host here in this city? I'm not making it up. Like I'm upset that they lost game two. I was upset. I'm not upset now. I mean, it's Friday. Good God, there's another game coming up in the series.
They but coughed
on,
it up.
But
yeah.
On Tuesday, yeah, I said on Wednesday morning, you gave up a 20-point lead, sucked up the room. Everybody else, except for Donovan Mitchell, was afraid to win the basketball game. That's what I said. I'm just making sure, because I go, well, take that about Darius Garland. I go, guys, I've defended Darius Garland. What are we talking about here? So I got to know, is there another fat radio host in Cleveland who has a louder, bombastic voice like I do? It is said that Darius Garland is afraid to play or is soft or anything like that. I didn't call the guys on the bench soft. Said it was a bad look, the whole laughing thing, whatever.
Although we did get tweets overnight that Steph Curry was laughing while on the bench in street clothes.
And that's not a good look. There you go. It ain't a good look. Am I wrong? No, that's a four-time champion.
Right. Yeah, it's a big difference. Like
there is a bit of a difference there.
I highly doubt he's getting crushed in Golden State.
However, a bad look's a bad look. I got to call a bad look. It's a bad look. But going back to it, I thought the play was soft. The guy's afraid to make plays. To inbound the ball, I think, was soft. You're hurt. Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, like, if they can't go, they can't go.
Yeah, the Evan stuff. I've seen more criticism of Darius than Evan.
Is it the Termini that's played during our show? Because remember, we had Termini on, and he's giving us this Kevin McHale crap, and I'm going, why do I care about Kevin McHale?
Yeah, he kept saying he played on a broken foot, and I'm just like, how is that even... Are we just over-dramatizing things
at
this point? Like, if you broke your foot, what was the level of basketball at that point? That if you really were playing with a broken foot, that you could get away with playing with a broken foot? Because I'm pretty sure if tonight somebody on one of the teams has a broken foot and stays in the game, I'm pretty sure they'll give up a basket 100% of the time.
Yeah, if they're running up and down the floor, yes.
So I've got to see. I've got to see the broken foot footage.
I was getting in there. The weird thing
is, somebody can send me the broken foot footage because I just fail to understand how that's possible.
Basketball is the weird thing because you and I get totally different reactions from people about things. Like what are you going to say about Tyrese Halliburton? Tyrese Halliburton wasn't bothered by his injury. I go, I don't know how seriously injured Tyrese Halliburton was.
Well, they did
sit
him.
Obviously, Draymond, I keep thinking because Draymond Green's in the news this morning. We'll get to him coming up in about last night. Darius Garland, if he ain't able to run, he ain't able to run. Tyrese Halliburton's able to run. And I don't know how injured his wrist is, but apparently it's not injured as much as DeAndre Hunter's thumb.
Again, Halliburton played 36 minutes. I think that was the same in game two as Donovan Mitchell.
Uh-huh.
36 is light for these big games where your season's on the line.
I would think so.
So 36 is light. It was the same thing for Donovan Mitchell. And we've gone into why is Donovan Mitchell playing? He played 34 minutes in the game before that they also lost. So if you combine his minutes, that's 70 minutes, but he's looked like a warrior. Like, at no point have you been like, Donovan Mitchell, give more. How are you not giving more? No, you've been like, he's given all that he can possibly give. You're just wondering, why is it that, like, Brunson played 51 minutes, I think, in their first game? Where is the disconnect? Is Donovan more banged up than we know about? The calf injury? My God, when I hear people talk about calf injuries, I will always think back to, you know, Kawhi had a calf injury that turned into an Achilles. I think Klay Thompson tried to come back from a calf injury, and then he blew his Achilles out. Like,
this is interesting.
Man, you get really nervous about guys trying to give it all on a calf strain, even if it's a calf strain.
I remember, gosh.
Like, guys get really, really injured.
I remember Wyatt couldn't move. I'm looking at football. Yeah. I mean, Wyatt Teller had two seasons where he was just plagued by it and couldn't really. I mean, if you can't get out of the stance, you can't get out of the stance. Chris Fedor. From where's he from again? Cleveland.com.
Cleveland.com.
Okay, he was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. I want to get the first clip first, because or the O2 first, because I think this is
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty poignant. It says the Cavs flat out, they need these three players that are hurt in Darius Garland, DeAndre Hunter, and Evan Mobley.
I don't think the Cavs can win this series without Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, and DeAndre Hunter. Or if those guys are limited, if they're able to play and they're limited, I don't think that's enough either. They got to win four of the next five games, and three of those are on the road, and nobody knows the status of three of their most important players. yeah, I don't think there's a good feeling about the Cavs' chances in this series today. Now, if we get an update tomorrow at shoot around saying, hey, Darius is out there, DeAndre's out there, Evan's out there, and there's more of a chance than what it felt like the other night of those guys playing, then, you know, I might have a different take on it.
See, I immediately got not over the moon excited, but I did get spirited a little bit where Thursday they're at shoot around and it's like, okay, Darius Garland and Evan Mobley did some work, but Kenny Atkinson also called it a glorified shoot around, or basically a shoot around is what Kenny Atkinson called it. Fedor went further on Afternoon Drive. You can hear that interview, 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. He says, the questionable listing isn't great for how the fan base sees this.
The listing of these guys is questionable. I understand is playing into this whole conversation, and the Cavs have to be better about that. They think they're in the right by doing that. Obviously, gamesmanship, not showing your cards, making Indiana have to guess. When you list a guy as doubtful, it's very different than questionable. If you list a guy as out, it's obviously very different than questionable. So they think they're doing the right thing from a strategic standpoint, but it's not helping. It's not helping the optics of these guys. So look, this is the playoffs. All these guys want to play. They have busted their ass throughout the course of this regular season to be in a position to help this team win a championship. You think they want to sit? You think they want to be stuck on the bench, relegated to cheerleaders? If they could play, they would play. They can't play. That's the problem.
You know, I agree with him. I think if they were listed as out, then I think people will be a lot more accepting. When you put questionable and then, yeah, we are. I think they're confused about what he's going to do anyway. About what Darius Garland's going to do, about what Evan Mobley's going to do, because they clearly want to be out there. I mean, if they're trying to participate in shoot around, they're trying to get some blood flowing, they're trying to get work done and seeing whether or not they can go. And so I guess you have to put, because if you list him as out, you list him as out, and that's it. But if you list him as questionable, it's like, well, it could go one way or the other. And then when you see your team losing after you won 64 games, if people get angry about that because they want to see those guys out there. Now, you're bringing up some names that I'm sure, well, you haven't said the names, but I'm sure I respect the names of the people who watch the basketball. But when you do have the highest paid guy on the biggest network out there fanning the flames and saying these guys need to what? Limp, the Darius Garland needs to limp his ass out there, I think was the quote, boy, or whatever it is.
You know what? I didn't mean to gloss over that.
It tends to get people worked up.
I'm sorry. You brought Stephen A. There is no bigger name. Does that get back to Darius? Like, is Darius thinking
LeBron
tonight about Stephen A. Smith? Is he thinking, oh my God, the guy that is the biggest, most high-profile guy on the biggest sports network is crushing me for not trying to go? And what does that do to you? What does that do to somebody like Darius, who Darius does not have championships, has a couple All-Star bids?
Yeah.
He's never been All-NBA, I don't believe. This year he had a shot. We're still waiting on the voting to be released in the results, but holy cow. Like I just thought about it, man. If you're Darius Garland and you're just trying to focus on what you need to do and all your rehab and all your treatments, his phone had to have blown up. It's Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah. It influences the opinion of when LeBron, whether you feel that Stephen A. Smith is right or wrong in any given situation, that's different. But when LeBron pulls him aside, courtside, to talk to him about the way that Stephen A. Smith talks about his son, it justifies everything Stephen A. Smith says. I'm sorry, there's plenty of people on plenty of networks that LeBron does not give a damn about what they say about him or his family or anything like that. He doesn't care.
Yeah, has he gotten into it with Rick Bucher?
Not that I know
Paul
of.
Paul Biancardi?
Not that I know of. Somebody here at this station he has. Congratulations on all your success. However, when you hear that, like, yeah, there's, if LeBron, as LeBron goes, so does the rest of the league. I don't care how old he is, it's still that way. And Darius Garland had to be getting told about that. If I was Darius Garland, I'd be pretty angry. And it might also force Darius Garland to go out there and to try to do something that he's not capable of doing, which is going out there and playing on a bum foot.
That's what I want to know, because when all was said and done, if you go back, you try to take a big picture look at things, we're all saying they coughed it up, right? They should have won.
Yeah.
And they didn't have Evan Mobley. They didn't have Darius. So because of that, and DeAndre Hunter, because of that, Does he feel the need like he has to get back? They did need ball handling down the stretch. Clearly, having Max Strus and Donovan Mitchell basically quit on playing point guard. He couldn't do it anymore. Max Strus was trying to play point guard. They were hounding him.
Let me break it down to this because it's this simple. You're right. You just said ball handling. If Darius Garland's out there, do they lose that game?
They win.
They win. They win. So it's at least a 1-1
series. If he can move. If he can shift and pivot.
And I think that's what's probably going through Darius Garland's heads going, well, this will be a 1-1 series and people aren't freaking out. Like it's a basketball series. That's the way basketball series go. And then I got Chris over here saying, flat out, if they don't got these guys, the series is over. They're not going to win this series, and we're going to be wondering what if.
And I'll tell you,
forever.
I would have thought goes without saying. Obviously, you'd like to have any of these guys, but the Evan Mobley high ankle sprain. I mean, that is enough that if he can't get that better, they've got no. They've literally. I know people aren't even thinking about the next round or anything like that. They're down 0-2 and they're going on the road. They're not huge underdogs, by the way, the rest of the series. Like, there are plenty of people that still think the Cavs are going to win
now,
the series.
Is that possibly because they keep getting listed as questionable?
I think now, if you haven't adjusted to what's been going on.
I see what Chris is saying about how they're perceived in the fan base and how they're perceived in media. But I do think the Cavaliers are going, we hope they're able to go, so we're going to list them as questionable.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can tell Kenny Atkinson in every single press conference he does, you can tell he really hopes they're able to go. And he's mad that these guys got injured in game one. He's really hoping that they can go because he knows, like, they're in a bad spot right now. So, yeah, the organization is probably really hoping that they can go, so they put them as questionable. And I think that Darius Garland and Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter are doing everything they can, so they are able to go.